being a part of the dawn of the MCU, having to turn down a dream role and becoming Batman. We're talking all that and more with special guest Richard Strone on this week's show. I'm your host, Nick.
And I'm Anthony.
And welcome to That Superhero Thing.
Let's do it. Well, I've never fangirled so hard in my life.
I know you haven't. Have we got an episode for you? It was Anthony not talking for the first 15 minutes. I've never seen Anthony so
Guys,
quiet.
I had to collect myself.
He did.
I just didn't know what to do.
I know.
And I didn't want to interrupt a star.
And a star? He is a star. He's an absolute legend.
Do you know what? Loveliest man I've ever met.
Genuinely.
Like, really, really nice to speak to.
Absolutely lovely guy. In case you haven't read the description and you didn't listen last week, it's a different episode this week. There's no news.
Nope.
There's no PodFans Assemble.
No.
First time since like episode 4, we haven't had a PodFans Assemble,
I know.
Which is weird, but it's a special occasion. On this week's show, we have got a pre-recorded interview with the man, the myth, the legend, Richard Strone, a.k.a. Batman, and Zeus from Army of the Dead. I don't know how we did it. I'm asking myself that still. I don't know how we did it, but somehow we managed it, and he was gracious enough to come on our podcast and have a chat with us. Should we just get into it?
Yeah, let's just play it.
Here you go, guys. Here's our interview with legendary stuntman Richard Strone.
Enjoy.
Right, pod fans, here we go. It's time to introduce our very special guest. He's featured in tons of movies, including Man of Steel, Justice League, and even starred as the King Zombie Zeus in Army of the Dead. Please welcome actor and stuntman extraordinaire Richard Strone to the show. Hi, Richard.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
No, it's absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming onto the show. We're dead real with the listeners. We've already done the niceties. We've already done the hello. We've already talked about your Batman and your Iron Man helmet in the background. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more later. But again, thank you for coming onto the show. We've been speaking to you for a little while, to look to get you on the show. And again, really appreciate you coming on. But you're a very busy man. I'm looking at like your IMDb page as well, really busy. And I know you might not be able to tell us everything, what have you been up to recently that you can tell us about?
Anything recent, I can't.
Okay, No, that's fine.
I finished a sequel of a film a little while ago that just wrapped. So you could probably...
We can
look
try and think, okay.
Probably figure out what it is.
That's fine. Okay, so what you might be able to tell us what you've been doing recently. Then is it a bit of acting, bit of stunt work, or both?
A little more stunt work. The acting that I do is kind of far and few between. Every now and then I'll get an acting role, and it's not something I really pursue. It's just that every now and then a coordinator has an acting role, a stunt acting role come up, and then they're like, who can we audition to bring in? I'm usually one of the guys that gets called to audition for it quite often. And so it just kind of is something that I get an opportunity to do because coordinators know that I can do a little bit of acting if I have to. And that's about it. I really haven't pursued it at all.
So the stunt work is your preference then overall?
Yeah, I really enjoy them both. And as I'm, I'm an older guy now, so the acting is a little more attractive these days. it's less work physically usually. But I enjoy them both. It's fun to be able to change up a little bit, every now and then.
Yeah.
And but I love stunts. I always love stunts. But it's just, the body gets older and, my body's fighting me. I want to do it. My body doesn't want to do it.
No, mine's completely already there, Richard.
I'm in my early 30s and I got carpet burn telling the dog off the other day because I fell over. So, I mean, I'm getting nowhere in life.
So with the stunt work then, so how did you get into it? How did you get into stunt work in Hollywood movies? How did it all happen?
Well, my main reason for moving to California, I moved from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. See right here. Steelers.
Oh, right, yeah.
I moved to study martial arts under Dan Inosanto, and my initial plan was to become an instructor in Bruce Lee's martial art and then move back to Pittsburgh and open up a school. But I always had in the back of my mind I would try to get into stunt work because I've always done physical things in my life. I've played football since I was like 9 years old, and I played hockey, and I love the physical aspect of those sports. So it was attractive to me to to possibly try stunts. So when I started in Down in Asanto School, I met two of my buddies who were thinking the same thing. And so, you know, we just kind of progressed within it and just trained for it and kind of made that it, my goal shifted from moving back home and opening up a school to now more, that's more in the background. And now stunts and film work is more in the foreground. And, right. and we've all gone on to have, you know, pretty decent careers. My one friend has been Zack Snyder's second unit director and stunt coordinator for a lot of his stuff, Damon Caro. And my other friend at that time has gone on to direct all the John Wick movies, Chad Stahelski.
Okay.
So everybody's kind of, you know, we've done
all doing good.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. So when you'd obviously got into the stunt work, was it just sort of like a natural progression into like the acting roles, just sort of picking up acting roles as you were going, or was that something that you wanted to focus on at the time?
Well, for a hot second, I thought about, you know, going more of the acting route. And then I realized, wow, this is a lot tougher road. Trust me. I respect anybody trying to make acting as their career. It's really, really tough.
Yeah,
I can imagine. Because of my skill set, I was more suited for stunts. When I moved to California, I had in the back of my mind, I thought, you know what, if I'm going to go for stunts, I'm going to try to, you know, know as many skills as I possibly can to make me a better performer. So I took about 6 years of acting classes. So I have some training behind me. But even with that, it's a tough career. It really is. Yeah. You just don't get the opportunity. Stunt performers get more opportunities usually than actors, because you have more stunt performers usually in films, you know, than you do actors for the most part.
Multiple performers playing multiple roles, sort of things, depending on your speciality.
Right. Yeah. So, so I thought, you know, I think maybe stunts is probably the way to go. I enjoy doing it just as much as acting. I like them both. And so I have more opportunities in stunts. So I'm going to focus more on stunts, and then I'll have acting kind of on the side that if I get the opportunities, that's something I can do as well.
I mean, it clearly worked.
Definitely.
It worked out. Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to ask, and I just thought this because of the conversation we had before we started recording. So you mentioned to us earlier on that the Hot Toys figure of the armored Batman, the figure is based on your face. One of the questions I wanted to know is, so I would imagine, unfortunately, nobody knows that. I would guess a lot of people think that's obviously Ben Affleck's face. Out of all the movies that you've done, which again is a lot, what big famous movie shot is you, but we don't know it's you? Is there anything there that you've seen and it's like people think that's Ben Affleck or Robert Downey Jr., but it's actually me?
Yeah, I can't, you know, if I want to be 100% professional, which I do.
Okay.
I really can't answer that. I can't. Put it this way. People would be shocked if they knew how much of BBS was me. They'd be pretty shocked.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. There you go. But I can't really say, you know.
Okay. It's all right. You kind of have, but it's all right. we'll run with that. So with obviously Batman vs Superman, you were quite heavily involved with like the DC movies. Obviously, you were. I mean, you had a role in Man of Steel, didn't you? And then I know you were stunt double in was it Wonder Woman, Bat versus Superman, and Justice League. So again, quite like a heavy role in it. Are you, again, I don't know what you can tell us, but have you got any plans to sort of carry on with DC now that James Gunn and Peter Safran have taken over? Or are you sort of, I know obviously you're part of Rebel Moon, which is Zach's project, but are you still going to be doing some stuff for DC going forward, or have you just moved over with Zach?
You know, it just depends. I'm not limiting myself to anything, but I'm not taking the amount of work that I used to take when I was younger. Yeah. You know, everything that came by, you know, I was taken. I just wanted to get as much experience as possible, you know, and just wanted to work. How most stunt performers are, they just want to work. But I'm older now, like I mentioned, and I'm being a little choosier with what I do. And to be honest, you know, when you get older, the phone doesn't ring as much as it used to, you know, because this industry for acting and for stunt your 20s is where you get the most opportunities. You know, actors, most acting roles are for people in their 20s. You know, and so in stunts, you're going to have people in their 20s doubling those guys. I mean, look, I doubled Ben in, what, 6 or 7 different movies. I'm 11 years older than Ben.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, you don't look it, to be
no,
fair.
No, you don't, to be fair.
Yeah,
you do well.
I know. I'm blessed with good genes, for sure. And I've taken care of myself over the years. But you know, like I said, the body inside, it feels it. But, you know, if something comes along, of course, you know, and I have some friends still involved in DC, so something may come along. But I'm just not, I'm trying not to travel as much, you know, because you guys know Hollywood. It's not really Hollywood. It hasn't been for a long, long time.
Yeah.
No.
That's where a lot of the course post-production still takes place, and a lot of pre-production still takes place there. But I mean, Atlanta's more everywhere. Hollywood than Hollywood.
I was going to say, I believe so, everything seems to be filmed in Atlanta
at
the minute.
It is all Atlanta, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's been that way for a long time. So I don't want to travel as much as I used to. I'll still do a little bit of traveling. But I mean, look, when I did Justice League, I was in the UK for, 9-10 months?
Oh, right, were you?
You know?
Oh, wow, okay.
You know, so and then I went home as home for about a month, and I went back out for Wonder Woman for about a month. And then, you know, so it's a lot of traveling when you're in the film industry. So I'm just kind of slowing down. But long answer to your question is, I'll probably still do some things if I get the opportunities, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not shutting out anything, but we'll see what happens, you know? And of course, Zach, you mentioned Zach earlier. I'll always work for Zach. That's the one person that I would work for, you know, no matter what. If he calls, I'm working for him. You know, I've passed up projects that I've really wanted to do for years. I had a chance to be a Predator in a movie, which I never thought I would, because I'm only 6'3". Amazing. Predators are like 6'9", 6'10".
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the original Predator was 7'1", I think. But I had a chance to be a form of a Predator, and I've always wanted to be Predator. That's one of my things, right? But I was going to work for Zach, so I'm like, nope. Can't do it. I'm always going to pick Zach, over anything else. So if Zach calls, I'm definitely working for him for sure.
You're going with Zach. What you're just saying, obviously, like you'd have always, you know, you really wanted to play Predator, and it's something you'd wanted to do for a while. I read, because obviously you've done a bit of research on you. You sound like a stalker, but yeah, I've done a bit of research on you before you came on the show. And somebody had said, I think I read somewhere that like your favorite childhood superhero was Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So that must have been another. Like, obviously, Predator's great, but stepping into the role of Batman, you know, getting into the cowl must have been amazing. Having had Batman as like a childhood superhero favorite.
Yeah,
what was that like getting to be Batman? I mean, it's like to us, it's just like you'd never imagine actually getting to play that role. So it must have been amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible. I honestly, for the whatever it was, 7-8 months we were on that show from the prep to wrapping, I really just considered myself having the best job in the world. I didn't care, you know, if people are making, you know, millions of dollars at their jobs, you know, or whatever. The money didn't even matter to me. I just love that character so much. I just thought I had the best job in the world. You couldn't beat it, you know?
Yeah.
So I felt really, really fortunate. And it was just, you know, I got really, really lucky as well, because, you know, Zack Snyder's directing it, and I've worked in all of Zack Snyder's movies. One of my best friends is coordinating it. Who didn't hand me the job, by the way. If anybody knows Damon Carl, they know this man is like all about character and doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I had to audition twice for it.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah, I had to audition twice for it. And in the end, he said, oh, dude, you blew everybody away. I'm so psyched that you're going to be on this with me. So I was really happy about that, you know, it was the first, if I remember right, it was the first Hollywood movie where they really had a real bat suit from the comic book, from the comics.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the Frank Miller suit, right? Before that, it had been all Hollywood suits. You know, I don't think there'd been any black bat suits in the comics up to that point. I could be wrong though.
No, I think so.
Yeah, I think most of those suits were like Hollywood suits. So I got to do that. You know, I got to fight Superman. Yeah. You know, I mean, I got
That's
was on.
Amazing,
I was
isn't it?
Because Damon Caro is the coordinating. You know, he knows action really, really well, right? So he's putting put together a team that that was just amazing performers. I mean, these guys were like all stars of stunts. These guys were fantastic, yeah. And a lot of them were are friends of mine. Most of them are friends of mine. And so I had all these guys to fight that just made me look so good. You know, you look at some of the reactions these guys are doing in the Martha rescue scene, for instance. Look at some of the reactions these guys are doing. They're amazing. You know, so they're, it's just making me look better, you know, and Ben look better, you know. So I just really was fortunate. It was like you guys mentioned, I wanted to do this forever. From the time I got into stunts, that's all I thought about was maybe someday being able to be a stunt double in, for a Batman movie. And
yeah,
it got to the point where I got to the age where I thought, it's not going to happen, you know, because I'm too old now. I'm not going to get the opportunity. But it was also supposed Zach wanted an older Batman as well.
Yeah.
Right. So he didn't want a young, just starting Batman. He wanted an older, grizzled veteran Batman.
Yeah.
You know, so I got lucky there, too. It was just like a perfect storm for me.
Yeah.
So really fortunate and just loved every minute of it.
So you mentioned as well about the auditions. What, like, how do stuntmen audition? Like, what do you have to, because that just blows my mind, because normally you walk into an acting thing, you get given a script, do you? I mean, are you just walking in and being thrown against walls? Like how how do you actually, like, audition as a stuntman?
Well, it depends what the job's for. Right. There could be specialty jobs that are like wire work and they want to see how comfortable you are on a wire. It could be a driving job. Right. So with Batman, it's going to be stunt performing. You know, Ben's going to, you know, of course, has the acting covered. And then whatever fights they want us to do, it's going to be fighting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So went in and they had fight choreographed. And you sit there and you watch it a couple times and you're expected to be able to learn it. I mean, part of that audition process and grading is being able to learn a fight in a timely manner, right?
Right. Okay, yeah.
So, you know, if you have more experience, you've probably done most of the stuff in the choreography before. It's just remembering how it goes, how it fits within. And so they have, like, I don't know, four or five guys attacking you and you learn the choreography and then you do it. You perform it, right? Mm-hmm. So did that, came back, you know, for a second audition and same type of thing, you know, different choreography, maybe some different skill sets within the choreography. And then you got to do it again. You know, you got to, you know, basically perform as best you possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, and with me personally, you know, I add like little flourishes to things that I'm trying to do. So it's usually not quite enough time to give my best performance if I'm just auditioning right off the spot. I'm just learning it now because you're just trying to remember the choreography and you're trying to get all the beats and everything done. And the timing, you know, is really important too, you know, trying to get the timing down.
Yeah.
But once you learn a fight, once you have it like the back of your hand, like you could do it in your sleep, now you can start adding the little colors into your performance that add that kind of more than to make it, you know, more, a little more than even what it is, you know, written down on the page, you know, so you don't have necessarily a lot of time to do that. So you just do the best you can and you just take it from there and see how it goes. And then I got it. I was lucky, you know.
Amazing. So cool. Amazing. Yeah. And that was it. You mentioned like all the different types of like stunt work you can do, you know, depending on like what the role is, like a bit of wire work, driving and stuff like that. Let's go crazy. Obviously, you've done a lot of things, a lot of stunt work, I assume. But what's the craziest stunt you've ever done?
Well, see, I've done a full burn before.
Really?
And that was back in 2000 before they had the gel that they have now. The gel they have now is amazing. These guys invented it that just revolutionized the industry, you know. Yeah. Before, you know, the gel, you would still need protective clothing everywhere. Right. Now these guys, you know, you see a bald guy, right? And they put the gel on his head and they put the accelerant on his head and just lights up on skin.
Like,
Yeah. It's incredible. Insane. You know,
that's mental, isn't it?
Yeah. So it was a totally different deal. It's still a little more dangerous, I guess. I've done, on the final Lethal Weapon episode, as a matter of fact, I did a descender out of a glass window that was about 100 feet up.
What?
So that was kind of, that was a little gnarly, going through the glass, you know, as well. Yeah, stuff like that. I did a, in a, one of the Underworld movies, I did a, like a ratchet dead man, and then just, you know, because you know what a dead man is? They have a line attached to you.
Yeah.
It's basically and a dog on a leash.
Oh, right. I get what you mean. Okay.
So
wow.
You're propelled forward, or you could just, sometimes you're just running. Like when they do reactions to clotheslines, sometimes they'll do it. They'll put a dead man on the guy, and they'll have him just run full blast, and the guy sticks out his arm and doesn't even really touch him. But the dead man, he hits the end of the dead man, and just, phew, you know, it just goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So those are jolting. And so if you're going off of like a ratchet or an air ram, that's what it was. I went off an air ram. That's what it was.
Okay.
So you go off an air ram. An air ram's a device that you step on, and it propels you through the air. They used to use them a lot in the 70s and 80s. They don't use them as much with the how prevalent wire work is now. They don't use them as much, but they used to use them a lot. So you go, I was in a werewolf suit, so I couldn't even – you have to step on this air ram at the right spot, right? If you don't, it's going to be bad for you, right? So I couldn't really see, so I had to just time out my steps and just implant my foot. And it just – you know, I just did two steps and boom, on the air ram.
Yeah,
and then I had the dead man attached to me. So off the air ram, so I'm flying forward. Then the dead man hits me, and I come back. And I did that in a werewolf suit. So it was a little dicey, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine in a full werewolf suit. We've got to mention it. Talking about suits, so you were Iron Man stunt double in the first Iron Man movie. Is that right?
I was one of them.
John Favreau's one of them.
Yeah, I was one of them. I came in late on the movie. I was there for the last month, so I did the last big fight with the Ironmonger at the end of the movie.
Oh right, okay. And was that like full? Because I know what you see, like set video, not anymore. Like, but you used to see set videos of Robert Downey Jr. like in the later movies, where on set he'd literally just have like the chest piece on, pretty much, and the rest was CG. Were you in like a full? Obviously, not like a full real Iron Man suit, but was it like a pretty much full suit? Was it that you?
It
were
was
in for
a
the,
full suit
for the filming.
Yeah, it was a full suit. It's the only movie that they used a full suit.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
what was that like performing that? Was it really heavy?
It wasn't really heavy. It was just cumbersome and restrictive.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't super heavy, but like every time you would, you know, you would get down in the squat, it would be pinching your legs. You know, it's like you have to learn how you can move in it. You can't, you know, just you can't just move like you normally move. You'd have to learn, okay, if I want to do this, I'm going to move my shoulder this way a little bit and kind of unlocks it, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a little tough to perform in, but a beautiful suit. I mean, the suit was amazing looking.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it? What was it like being on at the start of like the MCU? Because, I mean, I don't think anybody imagined it would have been, it would have become what
as successful
it, what
as it,
it
is.
Became, really. Did it feel like something different when you were there on that set, or did it just feel like your average movie?
Well, for me personally, it felt like something different because, you know, you mentioned earlier I was a huge Batman fan and a huge comic book fan. I love DC and Marvel, even though Batman was my favorite, but I love them both. Yeah. You know, I love reading the Marvel comics too. So to see that, you know, with the prevalence of CGI, now all of a sudden, you know, these movies are possible. I mean, they were made before in the past, but they were always cheesy looking because you didn't have CGI then, right? So now with CGI, you know, I thought for me personally, it was really exciting. I never dreamed it would go as far as it did. I had hoped that the movies would end up being popular because I wanted to work in more of them and I wanted to watch them, you know, because I'm a big fan as well. You know, so for me, it was really special. I mean, it was the first superhero I ever got to play. I was just really, really excited about it. Really excited about what could possibly the future could possibly hold. You know. So.
Yeah. And what was the last Marvel project you were on? Was it Civil War? Was it?
I think it was Civil War. I got called to do the last two Avenger movies, which I would have loved to do, and to double Vision because I doubled Vision in Civil War.
Yeah,
I would have loved to do those. But Ben was going to do his solo Batman film.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was saving myself for that because, you know, you get in these positions sometimes where you can only choose one film and you hope you choose right one. And of course I was going to choose Batman, you know, but that fell through. And then by the time that fell through, they were already geared up for the Avenger movies for Endgame and, you know, everything. So
Infinity War,
I lost both jobs. Yeah. It happens.
I was going to say, sometimes it's just the luck of the draw, isn't it, with them? So.
Sometimes what it was is.
How different? Because I know, like, people talk about, like, all, like, the Marvel secrecy and, like, you know, Kevin Feige having it, you know, watching people, making sure they don't say things and stuff like that. how different was Marvel from, and working on a Marvel project from going down the original line with Iron Man right up to Civil War, which when you could say probably it was, you know, right at its peak? Was it a completely different experience by that stage working for them, or was it more of the same?
No, not really. I think for me, you know, my experience, it wasn't really much difference. You know, Favreau's an awesome director. Russo brothers are awesome. You know, I really couldn't tell you that I could see or witness anything that was really done differently, or, you know, the technology was better by then.
Yeah.
You know, they were using drones, you know, by then and stuff like that. I'm sorry?
Use drones to film, or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, the big battle at the airport, they had some drone shots.
I was going to say, to do some of those shots, that makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, cool. You know, it was pretty much business as usual, I think, for me. Yeah.
Have you had any particular, like, memorable exchanges with any of the actors and stuff like that? You know, like, something that stood out to you while you were filming or something like that?
Well, I got a lot. It's just whether I can remember them. I mean, Scarlett Johansson's a big Batman fan.
Oh, right, okay.
We were talking about the fights, and she was like, "Yeah, you know, just kind of give me her opinion." I go, when you see ours, because I don't think ours had come out yet. I'm pretty sure BVS hadn't come out yet.
Right.
And I said, "Well, wait till you see ours. You're gonna like it. You're gonna like our fights. You're gonna be really excited." But she's like, "Oh, I can't wait." You know, so she was a big Batman fan. I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, I met Tom Holland, and I love Tom Holland. Yeah. Just such a cool kid. I mean, just like I was walking with an AD down to set, and he was walking with an AD up, and so they stopped, and the AD goes, "Hey, Tom, this is Batman." And so Tom goes, "Oh, you're Batman." He goes, "I'm Spider-Man. It's nice to meet you." I was like, I thought that was amazing. The coolest thing. I love that he just was so into the character and really excited and happy about it. And that's cool, man. I really dig that. You know, you don't have to be that way, you know, to put a great performance together. You don't have to love the character. You do. But he does. He loves that character, you know, and so it was really cool. I thought that was really neat.
When you do enjoy the role, you see it so much more in the performance. You know, it's not necessary, but it does really help. You can see that difference when someone's got that passion behind it as well.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Going back to, because obviously you mentioned a couple of times, like, how you'd always work for Zack Snyder. You've got, and again, I don't know what you can tell us, but I believe you're going to be in his new project coming up, Rebel Moon, and you've got a part in that. You've got an acting role in that one, is that right? Mm-hmm. As well as some stunts. What can you tell us, if anything, about your role in the new Rebel Moon movie?
I can't tell you anything.
Can't tell us anything.
I'm sorry. The studios take these non-disclosure forms really seriously.
Oh, yeah, no, I can imagine.
Yeah. I wish I could. After the movie comes out, if you guys want to talk again, I'd be happy to talk with you about it.
Amazing.
Then.
Yeah,
totally. You know, it's just that, I can't do it.
No, don't worry. No point getting sacked over our little podcast. it's absolutely fine. Have you got any plan? And again, you might not be able to tell us, but any plans to return to, or any sort of news on where the Army of the Dead's going? Because again, that was something. Your role in that, really, really prominent role.
Yeah.
And obviously, you were the main bad guy. So, have you got any plans to return to that?
You know, I've heard rumors about things, but I don't know. I couldn't substantiate them.
Okay.
I don't know. I know there. You know, there's plans to keep that franchise going.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But honestly, I tell you honestly, I've heard some possibilities of some things, but you know how that goes.
Rumors
fly around all the time. You know, so you don't know what to believe, what not to believe. But
it's we'll where it goes as well. It's like you mentioned with Ben Affleck's solo Batman movie. It's like that was a rumor at first, obviously, and then it was actually happening. And then sometimes plans change and they don't happen. When you were on the first Army of the Dead, though, were you doing stunt work on that as well as the acting role of Zeus, or was it just the acting?
Well, I was doing most of my own stunts. I had a few that I couldn't do because I end up tearing my hamstring our last day in Albuquerque. Yeah, I ended up tearing my hamstring, so I had to get a few weeks of rehab before I could do anything. So I did most of my own stuff. So it was just my own stuff because the character was so prominent. They were going to risk, you know, possibly somebody seeing me and go, spotting "Isn't that it. Zeus?" You know, if I was doing something else, and it was a lot of work. And so whenever I had a chance to take a break, they were going to give me the break instead of having me come in and do something else stunt-wise.
I see what you mean.
You know, makes so, sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. I love that film. So good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it. It's a fun movie.
Do you know what it was? And I remember, and I was much younger, obviously, when I watched it, but you were the Big Daddy Mars in Ghost of Mars, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that you'd play both of those roles at first. And when I sort of realized that it was you in both those roles, in a way they're quite similar because it's like you're the king zombie in both of them. So was that quite nice, kind of like not revisiting the same role but a similar sort of role, like however many years later it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it did remind me a lot of it when I was reading the script. And then me and my buddy, who worked on Ghost of Mars back in the day as well, we were laughing about it. And I wanted to make sure that it wasn't the same character. You know, that was on my mind a lot during my performance, actually. And not that, you know, it was, you know, anybody would really even notice. I'm sure some people would notice because that movie came out 23 years ago, you know, so it's not like it just was released. But just for me, for my own, you know, sense of performance, I just didn't want that at all. And so
didn't want it to be sometimes a copy and paste.
Yeah. And Zach knew that too. So,
oh, did he?
Zach's hilarious. Zach's one of the funniest.
Is he saying don't be the Big Daddy Mars?
He would go the other route.
Right? Would he?
He would be asking me to do things that he knew I didn't want to do because it's too much like Big Daddy Mars. You know,
amazing.
But Zach's hilarious, guys. If you ever get a chance to sit down with him, he's one of the funniest humans I've ever met. He's just...
Give him our email address. You can come on the show anytime. I think it'll be a bit busy for us, though. But yeah. Yeah, 100%. But just
super sharp, super smart.
Yeah.
And just you can tell him what in the stuff he produces.
Yeah,
it's all
totally.
It's all very different to anything else in a really good way. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's all very edgy. And you can tell, it's all so well thought out. And even like the 4-hour Justice League, it was his vision, wasn't it, at the end of the day? And it was like nothing else that you'd seen.
No.
Four-hour black and white movie in, you know, squared screen, which you've not seen since like 1992. Right. So it was very different, but he's very switched on. Are you good mates with Zach then, I assume? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty good friends.
What were you going to ask?
I was just going to ask, obviously, you'd mentioned about like tearing your hamstring. What's kind of... The worst injury that you've had? Like, have you ever had something where either it's gone wrong or just, you know, by sheer accident something's happened? Like, have you ever had kind of a truly bad one that's...
Yeah, I'm going to knock on wood here because, you know, nothing horrible, nothing major. And I have friends that have had some bad, bad injuries.
Yeah.
I broke a rib in my back on the first rehearsal of Twilight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I had to do the rest of the movie hitting the ground with a broken rib in my back, and that was not fun. I dislocated my shoulder in a movie being flipped onto a table one time, the Accountant movie.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Dislocated my shoulder there. So little things here and there.
Yeah.
Broke a little bone in my foot one time, but nothing. So I was able to keep working with that.
Yeah.
But you know what it is, guys? It's the wear and tear over the years. And my spine, my spine is not good. I got an MRI on my spine about 15 years ago, and the doctor telling me, geez, this is like, I was looking at your results, and I was thinking, man, this is one of the worst spines I've ever seen. And I remember what you do for a living, you know? So, I got compression everywhere, and I have atrophy in my left tricep because of it. I get tingling in both my hands and my fingers. So I need to get that addressed here sometime soon. But it's mostly, you know, guys, it's mostly the wear and tear. It's the stuff over the years that you just, you know, just doing it and doing it and doing it. And it just, you know, our bodies only last so long.
You know? Exactly. Yeah. But you're still enjoying it. That's still what you want to do.
Still love it. I really do. And besides my spine, honestly, I'm in great shape. You know, I can do anything that I've ever done, with the exception of, you know, my spine, which is a big exception, by the way.
So
I still enjoy doing it. But you know, that guys know, like coordinators know, like, hey, you know, this stunt over here is really gnarly. You're going to hit this and you're going to hit that and you're going to fall and hit that. He goes, we're going to give that to one of the young guys. You know what I mean? So they, it's not like they're going to give that to one of the older stunt guys. So, you know, I usually don't have to do anything too gnarly, but every now and then something will pop up and I'm game. I'll do it, you know? But,
Give it a go. Have a go, and if it gets too hard, like you said, give it to one of the younger guys. Let them drop off something. Right. Definitely. No, I don't blame you. So is that so? Plan moving forward, then is just continuing stunt work and just pick up the acting roles. So it's like cherry picking what you want to do. Is that it?
Yeah. I think this is outside of the film industry, but I think I'm going to look into a theater group and maybe do some plays. You know, my acting classes were huge. Like my acting classes were like 30 people that I used to be in. Right. And that's bigger than some theater shows I've been to in LA. Sometimes they're really small. You get maybe like 10 people in the audience, right?
Yeah.
So the thing with me is it's always been much harder for me to perform in front of like a theater situation with an audience than it is on film. Like in front of a camera... Yeah. You know, I can do anything. I don't get nervous. I never get nervous on the job. But in front of a live audience is where I get nervous. Yeah. So that's something I think I want to try to like overcome, you know, try to push that further and see where that goes. And now that I'm older, I have time to do it. So I've been looking.
Yeah.
I'm going to been looking at theater groups in my area and thinking about joining one. See if I can audition, maybe get in on a play somewhere.
They'll have you doing all the stunts.
I know.
Do you know what? It's so weird because, like, I find it opposite. So I can't do anything in front of like an intimate group. But if you put me in front of 1,000 people in an audience, like, I'm not bothered by it at all.
Our Anthony does a little bit of theatre.
That's cool. Rent. That's quite
he's doing
unique.
Rent next month.
Yeah, that's really quite so unique. I think I read somewhere that the biggest fear humans have is public speaking.
That's really
great.
Well, I'd always done stuff like that in school, head boy, so I was like doing all the speeches in front of kind of the entire 1200 pupils, so like none of that bothered me because I'd just done it right through school and things like that,
but just got used to it.
It's when you're in a group of like 10 people and they're all studying you specifically, that's when the jitters come for me. I can't cope with that at all. So where it's mad that like that's the other way around. Like you can do that in front of a camera and all that kind of stuff.
But then
in a big group, like
like so the crew watching. It doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother you. Yeah. No, just it's weird, isn't it? What sort of theatre are you thinking? And then Richard, are you thinking you do musicals or you do?
No, I'm strictly a shower singer. That's it.
Okay.
Audience of amazing. One. That's all I do.
Amazing.
Yeah, just Good. Yeah, just acting. That's it. That's all. We'll start there. Let's move slow. I'm not ready to run yet. You know.
Yeah. Fair play.
I reckon you. I mean, you might as well have a go. It can't be any scarier than doing the stunts and dropping off out of windows and setting yourself. You set yourself on fire, but you won't sink.
Yeah. Love it.
Brilliant.
So I was kind of wondering if you had the opportunity to be any superhero villain. Who Ooh. Would it be and why?
Joker.
Amazing.
Joker's just brilliant. Just the coolest. And there's so much there to do with the character.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Can take it any direction and it can work.
It'll work, yeah. Yeah. He's just such a cool character. I just thought, you know, when Jack Nicholson did the Joker, I thought, oh, my gosh, man, this is like, it's the perfect Joker. Like, and then you hear they're going to do another Batman movie with the Joker, and you're like, oh, my, like, how do you follow in that guy's footsteps?
Oh, well, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just incredible, you know. But then, you know, then you have, what's his name?
Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Just knocked it out of the park. Like, his own Joker, different than Jack Nicholson, but as effective, if not more.
Yeah.
Just incredible. Totally. So there's always, you know, there's always room to grow. There's always more you can do. You know, when you think somebody's pushed the envelope further, somebody comes along, pushes a little further. And it was amazing. Yeah. That movie, I watched that movie just for his performances. I'll just skip ahead to his performances because I think they're just so amazing.
It literally, I get goosebumps every time I hear him do the laugh as he walks into that fair scene with the table when he does the pencil trick and all that.
Oh, yeah.
That scene is so good. I absolutely adore it. I think he's brilliant.
He was brilliant.
Yeah.
You've been able to play Batman. You didn't quite get Predator because obviously, like you said, shit sort of changed your plans. Is there anybody else, any other role that you now think? Do you know what? I'd love to get a go at that, or even is it just Predator? Is Predator like the last one on the list?
Well, you know, back in the day, it was Godzilla as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, amazing. I'm giving away how much of a nerd I am, you guys.
No, it's fine. We're going to get some Marvel stuff in a minute.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I think CGI is taking over Godzilla now, unfortunately.
Exactly. CGI is taking over Godzilla. You know, and Ultraman. Love Ultraman.
Yeah.
I got my little granddaughter into Ultraman. She's 2 years old. She loved... And since she was one, actually, and it's not like a phase. It's not going away. She loves Ultraman. That's bought amazing. Her little Ultraman figures. We watched the TV shows. They've done a lot of shows and movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And so Ultraman was another one. I always thought it'd be awesome to play Ultraman, you know.
Yeah.
But Godzilla too, for sure.
Yeah. You wanted to be the guy in the suit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wanted to be the guy. Imagine.
That's amazing.
That would be so cool.
So what do you think of, with obviously, you know, the whole change with DC and stuff like that, you're looking forward to seeing what's, you know, like them potentially going down like a new direction? Not that obviously Zack's wasn't great, but looking at like a different way of doing things with James Gunn and Safran now, because I assume you're a DC fan as well, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I am, yeah. And a good friend of mine, Wayne Dauglish, is like becoming one of James Gunn's guys. Like I heard James Gunn refer to him as my good friend Wayne, you know, because Wayne helped him on the what was the TV series?
Peacemaker.
Wayne helped him that with the action and stuff. And I think he may have coordinated it as well. And Wayne's a super talented guy. Remember this name, Wayne Dauglish, guys. He's going to be directing before you know it. He's really talented. He does second unit directing, and he's just...
Yeah.
He's a young guy. I think Wayne's maybe 26 now, 27, but man...
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
An amazing stunt performer. Super talented. Been doing martial arts since he was six, you know. So just a really great guy. And so I'm really excited to see where that goes. It seems like James Gunn, they got a plan. I heard the early slate of shows that he announced, and there's still more to come that he hasn't announced, and they sound pretty cool. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how the production ends up going. But I think it's going to be good. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it'll be good as well. And again, it's not that it needs to be different from Zack's vision of it, but it's like it's comics, isn't it? It's like you get different artists, you get different writers, you get different universes. So I suppose it's just replicating the comics.
Yeah.
To a degree, isn't it?
Yeah.
One other thing, I suppose, you've obviously done like a lot of, clearly a lot of superhero stuff, and you're obviously into your superhero and your comic book movies and TV shows and stuff like that. One thing we've sort of talked about, and I think is quite like a prominent thing at the moment, is how the superhero and comic book movies are actually performing in like theatres and stuff like that. You know, the box office maybe seems to be struggling a bit. Do you think people are getting a little bit tired of the superhero movies, or do you think we're just, you know, they'll come back?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been something that I've thought about over the years. You know, when is the well going to dry up with this stuff? Will it ever dry up, you know?
Yeah.
I think as long as the content, you know, the writing, you know, the acting, as long as the stories are good, you know, I think people are going to stick, because that's why people go to the movies in the end of the day. There's exactly. lots of people that have seen superhero movies that aren't really into superheroes, but if the story looked good from the trailer and it, you know, they've heard good things about it, they're going to go see it. Because in the end, you want to go see good stories and you want to be entertained. Yeah. You know, so I think as long as the content stays at a high level, you know, when they start spitting out things just to do it, you know, just to make money on it, that's when you start to worry. That's when you get concerned that, oh, this isn't going to make it, you know, and then it'll be blamed that, oh, they're superhero movies. They're not, people aren't into them anymore. No, it's not that. It's that they got to be done well. You know, and I think as long as they're done well and the content's good, I think people will continue to see them.
I think that's the danger with anything as well, isn't it? Because once anything gets so big and so good and so popular, like you know, the Marvel universe is like, you know, a prime example at the moment, it does become quite difficult not to just think, well, if we just produce more content and just throw as much content as we can, you know, just make more money. At the end of the day, it's a business, it's not a charity. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the focus needs to be more on the quality and doing something different as well, which again is why I think it'll be a pretty good thing that, you know, James Gunn's probably going to end up doing something a little bit different with the DCU going forward as well. What's your thoughts on, obviously it's been a while since you've been in a Marvel movie, what's your thoughts on the Marvel universe at the moment? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I am somewhat. It's I haven't seen everything, though. And to be honest with you, I don't know. For whatever reason, I just haven't got around to seeing it. So there hasn't been like this rush that I really want to see everything that's been out. I saw Ant-Man. I thought Ant-Man was pretty good. You know, the new Ant-Man.
Yeah, Quantumania. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. But I think Marvel is going to really be put to the test, you know, because they lost the face of their franchise.
Yeah, that's it,
you know what I mean? I mean,
starting again, but
that, you know, Robert Downey Jr., man, he was the guy in Marvel.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they recover from that, you know, and I don't know, we'll see how it goes.
It's like you said, good stories, different stories, not just repeating. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not just repeating themselves
over
and over again, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
What's been your personal highlight of your entire career? Has it been getting that Batman suit on?
Yeah. Playing, you know, being able to double Ben, you know, in the Batman movies. That's it. Yeah. I could retire tomorrow and I'd be perfectly happy.
And you've done it.
I'd be perfectly happy. Yeah. That was the one thing I wanted to do more than anything else. I mean, I used to sit in the theater before I ever got in the stunts, you know, and watch, you know, the fighting and Batman and go, oh, I want to do that so bad. You know, I want to put my own spin on that. I want to do that. I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I can't get any higher than that. As of right now.
Fair play. After getting the suit on. Well, after getting the suit on for the first time, how quickly did you get a selfie?
Because
obviously there's so many rules and you know, you can't have leaks and things like that.
Yeah.
How quickly were you there with the camera taking a quick selfie?
I'm sure as soon as I possibly could, I'm sure I was.
I can imagine.
The first time I got to really be in the suit that wasn't a fitting and really do anything and really spend some serious time in the suit. We, Zach wanted to do some photos of me, in the suit and then around the Batmobile, just posing like around the Batmobile.
Amazing. Yeah.
And
they're the stills must have been released, surreal. Aren't they?
I'm sorry?
Are they the stills that were released?
There's two sets that are out there floating around. And you can't tell because, you know, because Batman. And so, first ones that were taken was me, because Ben hadn't come to Detroit yet. So we had just got there. We were just there a few days and Zach wanted to do the shoot. And but once Ben came to town, they went back to the same place and put the Batmobile in, did the same thing. But I don't know if the shots were exactly the same, but I can tell just from certain things who's me, and I can tell who's Ben.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're both in that. So some of them that you see will be Ben, probably more Ben than me, I would think. They probably released more of the Ben shots, I'm sure. But some of them are me.
I mean, to be fair, because when I'd first thought about you being suitable, I actually thought Ben Affleck was quite short, but he's like 6'4 himself, isn't he?
Oh, is he? I didn't know he was that tall.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 6'3.
He's quite tall, isn't he? 6'3.
Yeah, we're exactly the same height. But here's the thing. Well, he's lighter now. We're actually about the same weight now because he dropped a lot of weight. But at that time, he was about 230.
Wow.
I think.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
And I was maybe 200 pounds.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can kind of see in the suit. You'd have to look really close. I look a little, you know, a little different in the suit, but it's pretty close, especially when I'm moving around and stuff. We're pretty close. But he's a bigger guy, you know. So to double him in other films wasn't the best double. But Ben wanted me, you know, in some of these other films. So he's like, no. He goes, we were doing The Accountant, and I remember I could tell production wasn't happy with me as his double. I mean, I could see it. We were like, they'd be like, so, well, can you guys stand next to each other? You know, because I'm 30 pounds lighter. So you're going to see that, right?
Yeah.
So. And they're like, yeah, they're talking. Like, yeah, okay, can you turn around? Can you guys turn around? And they're looking at us. And then afterwards, Ben comes to me and goes, hey, if anybody gives you any trouble, let me know. Amazing. So in the end, he's the star, you know. So what he says in the end is going to go, you know. So I'm pretty sure Ben's the only reason I got some of those jobs. But the Batman jobs, it didn't really matter because we're in a suit. So you really couldn't tell.
You can hide quite a lot.
Amazing.
So, I mean, one other thing, I'm a massive Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan.
Mm.
And you actually were in an episode quite a while back, weren't you?
I did about six Buffys.
Did you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did about six episodes. That's when I was breaking in. Those were one of the first jobs I ever had.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
What was the first job you ever had? I think I know this, but I'd rather you tell me if I'm right.
What's your answer?
Was it Three Ninjas?
Yes.
Yes,
that was my first union job. I've done things in movies where I was considered special talent, which I was basically doing stunts, but they didn't want to pay me as a union member, so they wouldn't Taft Hartley me. So they basically used me, kind of. Me and my two friends that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
All three of us did that for a couple shows. Not many, just a couple. And then we were able to get into the union. But Ninja Kids was my first.
Then you got Three Ninjas.
That was it.
I bet you didn't think when you're doing Three Ninjas, I'm going to be Batman one day.
No. No, I was just trying to figure things out and do the best I can.
But you've done Batman at the end of the day. It's like, it's a road that you've had to go through, but you know, to go from that. I mean, still Three Ninjas, you know, it's a Hollywood movie, isn't it? But
Yeah,
to get to play that role of Batman.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny. There's just some funny things in it that I had to do, and it's like, oh, geez.
But what did you have to do?
Just act goofy. You know, it's a kids' movie. Yeah. You know, so
yeah,
cheesing it up a bit.
Yeah. But that was my first. Oh my gosh! I remember I had so much to learn, and the guy who hired me, Al Jones, is just a famous stuntman in his own right.
Yeah.
Just a great stuntman and he's a great coordinator. And I remember him just had complete trust in me and, you know, and he had no reason to, you know, I was so green. Like, I mean, just things that mistakes that I made, you know, just really cool of him to back me up like that and to be willing to use somebody that just didn't have any experience really, or very little experience at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but you could obviously see the potential, because obviously if you hadn't had the potential, you wouldn't have gone on to do the stuff that you've done at the end of the day, would you? That's it.
Yeah, I guess unless I just been fooling people all these years, maybe.
Well, you've done a fantastic job. If you have. That's where the acting comes in.
Yeah, yeah, right? I act like I can fight. I can't.
No, you've nailed it, haven't you? Completely.
Definitely.
Completely.
Has there been, obviously, you, because we're in like a time now where advances, technology and all of that kind of stuff has come along so much, even in the last kind of 25, 30 years. Is there, like, as a stunt man, like, is there something that came out that's like made your job a hell of a lot easier or, you know, less nervous? Is there like something at one point where you went, God, I'm so glad someone's managed to invent something that can help me in this
well,
film?
With CG and using green screen, I think it's prolonged stunt performers' careers. You know, it's hurt in some ways. And we used to talk about this, like, oh, it's going to take away so many jobs, you know. And it has taken away some, especially the gnarly, super dangerous jobs. It's taken away a lot of those. Yeah. But I really think it's prolonged people's careers. Because, you know, when you're using green screens, a lot of times you can put pads down. You know, you can put pads underneath the green, right? So, you know, that's been, for me, that's probably been the biggest change is with CGI, you know. Yeah, I mean, and equipment has improved so much too. The air rams are so much better. We use this synthetic cables now called Testline instead of real wires. When you first started doing wire work, it was real wire. And we called it bit you. Did the wire bit you? It means it tore you up. I mean, it was like, it was like piano wire. I mean, it was like, so if you're doing something, if you're doing a gag and you have two lines coming up through here and something happens and you kind of get off kilter and you hit your face on the tech, you might get a little brush burn. You hit your face on the wire, it just fillets you. Like it was just gnarly. You know, you get tore up all the time with wire. So they came out with that stuff that's just as strong, if not stronger than wire. You know, but it's more of a synthetic weave material, you know. So, I mean, things have improved a lot. And I think, you know, I think in the end, I think things are just more safe now. We lost some of the big gags, but it's much more safe. And I think it prolongs our careers.
I was going to say, yeah, it means you can last longer because obviously less serious injury. We can probably say.
For sure. Absolutely.
That, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you see a lot of the older stuntmen walking around. I mean, you know, it's just tough for them to get around sometimes. You know, all the hip issues they have and hip replacements and knee replacements. And they had it tough. I mean, you know, they had it much tougher than we do now, for sure.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, because it's nowadays when somebody does get quite seriously injured, it's big news because it doesn't really happen very often anymore and things like that. I mean, you know, there was the Tom Cruise one, wasn't there, when he was doing Mission Impossible?
Oh, yeah, broke his ankle, didn't he?
Yeah. So, you know, and those now are newsworthy because it's not something that happens as often as probably it used to.
Or not that we see. Anyway.
Or not that we see, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, it is, you know, there's negative things to it if obviously some people have lost jobs and things like that because of it. But again, you know, it's giving you a safer environment to work in. And it's, as you said, prolonging the actual career
in
the process as well. So there's kind of pros and cons to it, isn't there?
For sure.
Would you, now that you're getting, not that you're saying that you're old or anything like that, but now that you're getting older, as you mentioned, would you maybe think of getting more into like the stunt coordinating rather than doing the actual stunt work yourself and maybe sort of directing it from that standpoint?
You know, I don't have a lot of interest in coordinating. I've done a little bit of fight choreography over the years. Every now and then I'll do some. But in my past, when I've had a chance to go, I can take this road and maybe get a chance to coordinate this show, you know, or do fight choreography, or I can take this road and perform, you know, I would always take this road because I love to perform. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm no dummy. I know as I'm getting older, I'm thinking, you know, I should be preparing for a career behind the camera. I really should be doing that now. I should be getting more. Maybe I should do some coordinating, more choreography. Maybe, you know, get better with the camera, you know, and stuff. Maybe I could do some camera work or whatever, second unit shooting, or, you know, get into that maybe. But I just love to perform, you know. So if I had those opportunities in the past, which I have, I always take the other way because I want to perform, and that's what I love
that's
to do.
That's what you want
to
do.
You know, so I just came to the realization that, you know what, I'm just going to, I'm never, I don't say never to anything, but as of, you know, the way it's been going, I'm just going to go till, you know, till I can't go anymore. I I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good situation in my life, you know. So I don't have to make a ton of money or anything like that. So whatever's going to make me happy and I'm going to enjoy doing.
And you can pick the projects that you want to do, and if that's what you can do, that's what you
and
want
obviously
to do, isn't it?
Family time's important as well, because you've said you've got family,
absolutely,
kids that's, growing up and things like that, so it's, you don't want to miss all of that either.
That's a big one. I spend as much time with my granddaughter as I possibly can, you know. She's downstairs, you know, right now. She came over, so
watching Ultraman.
So that's super important to me, absolutely.
That's why obviously when you mentioned before about the lot, you know, not wanting to travel as much, it's you want to spend time with the family. Does your granddaughter know you Batman?
Yeah, she kind of knows, you know. She's only two, you know. I remember her mom bought her this little onesie thing that babies wear, and it said, I think my grandpa is a superhero.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
That's so cool.
So, and she was Batman for Halloween last year. Last Halloween.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So she kind of knows. She knows who Batman is for sure.
Yeah.
She knows who Batman is. She points to him all the time, and, you know, she tried to say Batman, but I'm not sure. I have some pictures of myself without the cowl on, so she might be getting the idea. I don't know.
Yeah. So when she starts going to school and starts telling everybody that my granddad's Batman, and the teachers will be like, don't make things up.
Oh, my
like, no, my granddad's like Batman.
Oh, my son went through that. My son went through that in school. Oh, yeah. My dad's Iron Man. Oh, you're a liar. Yeah. You know, my sons can be sensitive, you know, with stuff like that, and so he would get really upset, you know, and kids would call him a liar, and then I'd have to send him back to school with a picture or something, you know, and so
it's a roof.
Yeah, so
that can be Iron Man.
Yeah, that can be a little rough on kids, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. Have any of your kids decided wanting to go into the same sort of work that you've done, into like movies, stunts, anything like that?
No, my daughter's a cowgirl. You know, she lives up in Wyoming, and she loves that life. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. She loves it. My son does a little bit of film editing. I'm kind of guilty of trying to persuade him away from stunts, you know, and I don't know if that was the right decision or not. There was a time when I probably could have, if I'd have pushed him, he probably would have went that direction, but I just don't want him to get beaten up, to be honest with you. You know,
I
just, that's not what I want for him. But if it's something he really wanted to do, I would have. But, you know, I always kind of try to persuade him to do other things. So he does a little bit of film editing. He's actually a really good editor. That's probably as close to the industry as either one of them are, you know, and he's worked on some nice films too. So.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
That's very cool.
See where it goes from there.
That's
brilliant, isn't it? That's really good. Brilliant. Well, Richard, thank you very much for coming and joining us and telling us all what it's like to be you, to be Batman, basically. That's the big thing that we're hyped about. We'll be able to tell everybody, like your granddad, telling everybody your granddad's Batman. We'll be able to sit there and tell everybody tomorrow, we're talking to Batman last night. We spoke to Batman. My son's going to be absolutely made up. He already is dead excited. But yeah, no, brilliant. Thank you very much for joining us. We'd love to have you on again after you can tell us things about Rebel Moon and any other projects that you're on. But before we let you go, where can our listeners find you on, like, Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter a whole lot. Instagram, it's stunt_Batman. And then if you want to look me up on Facebook, you feel free to do that. It's just my name, Richard Citrone.
Perfect. Okay. Fantastic. Perfect. Well, great. As I said, Richard, thank you very much for joining us, and we will hopefully speak to you again soon.
Sounds good, guys. You're welcome. It was really my pleasure. It was fun doing your show. So anytime, let me know.
Well, there you go. It did happen. You didn't believe us, did you?
I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it.
I was a bit like, is this real life? But there you go. It happened. Yeah. We got to sit with him. As you can tell, absolutely lovely guy.
Yeah.
Really, you know, really, really like happy to go into the stupid questions I was asking him. But yeah.
And the stupid questions I was asking him. Who asks if you go into an audition and throw yourself against a wall?
You.
What a you. This is why I opted not to speak for the first 15 minutes.
Gather
because
yourself.
Anything that came out after that was complete
Yeah, it was very much. It was good. I enjoyed it. You enjoyed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we did.
And hopefully Richard enjoyed it.
You seem to.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed it as well.
Yeah,
as
very I said, humbling.
No pod fans assemble this week, but we'll do Patreon shout outs. So thanks to Geeky Nate, Kenneth, Knight Spearhead, Richard, Jessica, Avid Gamer, Sheldon, and Michael for supporting the show. Patrons get exclusive access to our bonus podcast, Into the Podverse, with brand new episodes every month. This month, we are doing Sky High. This is pre-recorded, guys. It might be out by now. I don't know. We'll figure it out. If it is, it is. If it's not,
also,
it's not. There you go.
Sheldon's been on our thing for a while, and for the first time today, I just wanted to go, bazinga. And I don't know why.
Don't have a dig at our patrons.
I wasn't having a dig.
Don't annoy them. Patrons also get discounts off merch and the ability to listen to the show being recorded live every week, not this week because it was pre-recorded. If you'd like to access all the extra content and support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/thatsuperherothing or hit the link in the description. Other than that, thanks for listening. Don't forget to come back next episode for our belated review of Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania,
yes,
which is dropping on Disney Plus next week. If you don't already, make sure to check out our socials at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for all the latest updates on the show and calls to action for next week's PodFans Assemble, because it will be back next week.
Yeah.
And I've got a feeling lots of people are going to have lots to say about Quantumania. Definitely.
Props.
If you've enjoyed the show, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a rating or review on Apple or Spotify. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher we got the charts, and the more people will be able to find the show. Other than that, I'm gonna go and pinch myself that really happened and prepare myself to watch Quantumania again, because I didn't really enjoy it the first time. But there you go, spoilers for next week.
I liked it.
And there you go. Mixed opinions. That's what you want. You want different opinions. You don't want us both saying it was boss.
It was Bud.
It was Bud. I'm tired. Spoilers, we've just got back from Guardians of the Galaxy when we recorded this. You already know what we thought of that. Anthony cried 27 times. Anyway, see you next week.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Bye.